what makes a man, and an ape? That's one of the more compelling questions we've had answered on this program over our 20 years on the air. Well, we're going back to that interview today. It was with primatologist Richard Wrangham. Now, Richard authored a compelling and controversial book in 2008 called Catching Fire: How Cooking Made Us Human. In it, he makes an argument that what really made it possible for us to evolve from ape to man was the moment we learned to cook. Richard, good to have you with us.
Thanks so much. It's nice to be here.
Now, for years and years, we've been told that tools are what separated us from the other animals. But you've gone against all of this research. Why?
Yes, I mean, for many years, it's both tools and meat eating that people have thought has been the critical factors that elevated humans, as it were, from being apes into being humans. And what struck me is that nobody has paid attention to this amazingly important system of food processing, of cooking. And the reason it seems so fantastically important is that we all know that you are what you eat. And we all know that for animals, the search for food is absolutely critical. And what people have not paid attention to is the fact that there's a tremendous amount of evidence that when we cook, we get much more energy out of our food than if we eat it raw. And this is so important, I think, that the moment that one of our ancestors was able to do this, they were able to do many things that were previously not available. They could grow bigger bodies. They could use more energy for traveling about the environment. They could have babies faster. They could put more effort into protecting themselves from disease. And they could grow bigger brains.
But what's the science behind this? I mean, I thought that it was this idea that we could have a weapon and we could kill an animal, or we could have a knife and we could cut a plant, you know, and then eat it. I thought that was the key.
The science behind the importance of cooking comes from a review of a tremendously diverse nutritional literature. And what it says is that there are two big ways in which cooking gives us increased energy. One is that it increases the proportion of the nutrients in our food that we are able to digest. So if we eat raw wheat, then much of the starch that comes into our bodies is simply not available to us to be digested, and we pass it out uselessly. And the other thing it does, cooking does, is to reduce the amount of metabolic energy that our bodies expend in digesting the food. So if we cook our food, then we save maybe 10, 20, 30, we don't, really don't know, the percentage of the amount of energy that we would ordinarily use to digest the food. And these two things between them mean that when we cook our food, we just get much more energy, much more calories, and then we can use it to change our biology.
So by looking at the remains of early man, could you tell whether or not those creatures at that time were cooking?
I think we can. We can't do it from the direct evidence because there isn't any direct evidence. That is to say, the record of the control of fire just decays slowly as we go back further in time to the point where you don't know whether its absence means that nobody was doing it or that it's simply the evidence has disappeared. But we have wonderful other ways of getting at this question. One of the discoveries that I made is that humans are incapable biologically of living effectively off raw food. That's because of those advantages that I mentioned of what cooking does to give us energy. And we've adapted to be able to use cooked food and not to use raw food. Well, what is it in our bodies that forces this adaptation? There are two obvious things that we can see in fossil species. One is small mouths and small teeth are associated with cooking, and the other is small guts. If we look at our stomach and our small intestine and our large intestine, they're about 60% of the size that they would be if we were a great ape. Well, we can go back in time and say, okay, when did our ancestors acquire these two features of small guts and small teeth, small mouths?
And the importance of the small mouths is that we didn't need to chew as much.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
If we were a great ape, we would spend 6 hours a day chewing our food.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, it wouldn't be like apples and oranges and bananas that have been domesticated by humans and made full of sugar and to be low in all of that fibrous stuff.
Right.
So you'd spend all day chewing it. So you need a big mouth and big teeth to do that. But once you cook, now you're eating high density, high quality food, and you can become this rather strange small mouthed species of ape that we are. And it's clear when that happened. That happened just this side of 2 million years ago, about 1.9, 1.8 million years ago.
Am I making a leap here, saying that sharing food or cooking leads to socialization, leads to man being more engaged with fellow man?
Well, you are absolutely right in thinking that many people have followed that line of argument, because we nowadays always tend to think of a cooked meal as something very sociable. You know, if you're a hunter and gatherer, you're going through the bush and you eat some raw snacks, and that's just on your own. But you bring food back to camp and you cook it up and you sit around it, and this is a time for telling stories and for the family coming together and so on. And that carries on into modern life. But the question is why? What is responsible for that? And no one has ever really been quite sure. I've studied chimpanzees for most of my life, and one of the extraordinary contrasts that just hits me very clearly between chimpanzees and humans with regard to eating is that if you put some delicious food in front of a bunch of chimpanzees, they all fight over it. Whereas if you put a bunch of food, such as a cooked meal, in front of a bunch of hunters and gatherers, they're all incredibly courteous. And in my book, I do develop the idea, which seems to really work in terms of the animal behavior, that the reason that we are so social in our cooking is that not just that the food is attractive and people want to come and share it for that reason, but that the temptation to fight over the food has led to some very clear social rules. And those social rules, I think, lie at the heart of human society, the rules over the question of how to control conflict and competition and the temptation to pinch food from each other around the fire. And I think that, incidentally, this has been particularly fascinating in terms of gender relationships, because men could obviously steal from women because of their bigger size.
Right.
And very occasionally it happens, but it's very, very occasional indeed. And really what's happening here, I think, is that in all societies except modern urban societies, women invariably cook for men. And that seems to be part of an ancient sort of protection racket in which, as a result of women cooking for men, then they get men to protect their food from possible theft by other men. And it seems very fundamental to the way we are. I mean, once you start thinking about the importance of cooking, its supply of energy, its strange distribution compared to natural foods, then you think it has really, it's bound to have affected our evolution hugely, our behavior, our society, our cognition, all sorts of features about us.
Richard, thank you. A great deal to think about. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Richard Wrangham is the Ruth B. Moore Professor of Biological Anthropology at Harvard and author of Catching Fire, How Cooking Made Us Human. Now, we've got to have a recipe here that involves fire. Try Bart Seaver's recipe for grilled asparagus with spicy Parmesan sauce. It's on the website, splendidtable.org.